Hello, everyone. Hi, good evening. Elliot Schoenberg on the line. I assume we're waiting for a number of other people, but good evening to everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening, Elliot.
So, Serve Gottesman in Toronto here as well, Elliot.
Laurie Marins in Kingston, Ontario.
Ray Goldstein, United Synagogue. Well, we're early. There'll be a number of other people. Rabbi Moses, you on the line?
Is anybody there?
Yes, it's Irv Nitkin from Vancouver.
Irv, hi, Irv, from Toronto.
Hi, this is Amy Lewis.
Hi.
Hi, this is Lionel Moses calling from Montreal.
This is Jennifer.
Hello. Howie Goldberg from Albany.
Amy Lewis from Vancouver.
Hi.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Irv.
Irv Nitkin. So this is Elliot Schoenberg. We're going to wait 2 minutes before we start because that's what we usually do.
Well, it's not even 7 o'clock yet, so yeah, it's still 6:59 on the East Coast.
Right on 7 o'clock, but that's neither here nor there. We will wait 2 minutes. Can that I know who's here? Can people who are here identify themselves? I know Elliot is on the telephone. Do I hear Adam Cutler? No. Who do I hear?
Irv Gottesman, Toronto.
Irv Gottesman, Lionel Moses, how are you?
Good. Lionel, how are you doing?
I am very, very well.
I'm glad. Everyone's
people
family
identify
well.
What congregation they're with.
Who else is on the phone?
So you've got Laurie Marins in Kingston, Ontario. Kingston, Ontario.
Lawrence, what's your remind me of your last name?
Marins, M-A-R-A-N-S.
Kingston, okay. Who else is here?
Jennifer O'Connor.
From Vancouver.
Jennifer is next. Jennifer, last
O'Connor
name?
O'Connor from Halifax.
Connor from Halifax. Halifax. Next.
Irv Nitkin, Vancouver.
Irv Nitkin, Vancouver. Welcome.
And Amy Lewis from Vancouver.
Amy Lewis.
And Howie Goldberg from Albany, New York. I'm with the USCJ.
I know who Howie Goldberg is.
I know who you are, too.
That I was anonymous.
And Ray Goldstein, well, Ray Goldstein from USCJ.
Hi, Ray.
Hi, Ray. It's Irv. Here.
Hi, Irv. good to hear,
good to
your,
hear
voice.
Your voice.
Hey, you got Norman Kahn on the line as well now.
Norman Kahn?
Yes.
From where, Norman?
Toronto. Bethsaida, Toronto.
Bethsaida, Toronto?
Yes.
Thank you. Anyone else on the line? There's 10 of us on the line. Are we expecting more, Rabbi Schoenberg?
How many did you say?
I have 10, including you and me.
There's probably one or two more, but I would begin.
Is this being recorded to so those who couldn't be here, it can be shared?
It is being recorded.
It's
set it up that way. I hope that the logistics work out that way, but yes.
Got it.
Thanks. So I'm gonna take the prerogative of welcoming everyone now that I have everyone's name. If anyone else joins in, we'll ask them to give us their names as well. We're going to start. We start placement commission meetings in New York with Rabbi Schoenberg giving a Dvar Torah, different from what most of us expect. Although I now know what they are, so Rabbi, if you will start with a Dvar Torah, that would be great.
Well, thank you very much, Lionel, and welcome everyone. I wanted to say a few on a plane about 5 months ago, my way home from L.A., I had coffee with a professor who you all know at the American Jewish University, Wolfson, Ron Wolfson, and we were talking about his autobiography, but I want to go back to a book that he wrote a little while ago called Relational Judaism, which is a very good read, and I wanted to just say one or two or three things from his book to highlight. I wrote a book called Relational Judaism, name is Ron Wolfson. He says that here's a good question to ask yourself. What keeps you up at night? So what is it about your congregation that keeps you up at night? But then he corrected himself. He says, you know, it's a good question, but here's a better question. What gets you up in the morning? Because that's a hopeful question. So are you asking yourself, what keeps you up at night? That makes you anxious. On the other hand, if you ask yourself, what gets you up in the morning? That's hopeful. I thought that was a really good way to look at congregational life. We should be asking ourselves, what are we enthusiastic as is about our congregation. Second point he made, going back to one of the Jewish philosophers who was sort of the basis for a lot of his work, Martin Buber, who wrote a very well-known book a long time ago, early part of the 20th century, called I and Thou. And I and Thou was all about relationships. And certain relationships were I-it, certain relationships were I-thou. And in the I-thou relationship, Ron Wolfson says, it's the dash that's the important part of that word. I-thou, it's a dash. And it's I-thou is about relationship building, and the dash is about filling in the space to create experiences that make relationships possible. So it's not enough to say, okay, we should be relational. It's about what experiences are we creating that
enable us to have those relationships. And the last thing he records in his book that I wanted to note was that Hillel has created a position. It's got a variety of different names: campus engagement initiator, CEI, campus entrepreneur. It's got a variety of different names, but they train people to engage the unaffiliated on campus. In other words, those who don't run to Friday night dinner, but those who might engage in a conversation. And what they do is they ask these young folks to set a number of a goal of how many people they will have a coffee with every week. And they back that up by giving these people a expense account to have coffee with young college people. Again, it's a way of putting your money where your mouth is and say, if relationships are important, then let's create a context to make it possible. Those are a few highlights from his book. I recommend the book. I recommend the concept, which many of you I know are already encountering, about how to build relationships as opposed to programs. So let's remember the dash and the I-val, and let's have a lot more coffee. Lionel?
Thank you very much. We sent you out, and I hope all of you received a document called Opportunities and Challenges Inherent in Considering Working in Canada. It was a document that I put together for the Joint Placement Commission meeting in November, based on, as you saw in the introduction, a sampling of some six colleagues who have worked in Canada, most of them still working in Canada. I think what I wrote basically summarizes what those colleagues reported back to me. It's actually only four of the six who responded to me, and I took their responses and summarized them as challenges and opportunities. And my intention tonight is really to give you an opportunity to talk to and talk with Rabbi Schoenberg and me about those challenges, to ask questions, to make comments, to see how those challenges and opportunities can become operational. So is anyone, did everyone get to see the document?
Yeah.
We did. Okay. Yes, it's Irv Nitkin here from Vancouver. I wonder if I might take a moment to make a couple of comments about that document. First of all, I would say that rather than placing the challenges first, I would put the advantages first. When you start reading the document, why hit people with the challenges? I mean, I'm take it that is this a document?
That document is not Irv.
This was an internal document.
This is a document for this conference call. This is
all
not
right.
A public document. It was for you.
Okay. All right. Well, in that case, I think there are a couple of inaccuracies. First of all, point number two in challenges, the Canadian dollar is not pegged to the U.S. dollar. It floats depending on the economy. And indeed, for the last 10 years or so, certainly during most of the tenure of our present rabbi who's retiring, it's been more or less at or near par. So I think it's a bit misleading state that, in fact, the currency is pegged. It could change. It could go up. It may go down a little bit more, but it could go up too at some point. So I think we have to be careful when we say that. Double tax reporting, well, it doesn't really affect taxes. You get a deduction for what you pay for to one country from the other country, so it doesn't change anything. It's a little more work. There are other things as well that I would have certainly added to the advantages. Rather than take up the time of this meeting, perhaps I'll send you an email with some of my comments about the advantages.
I mean, it would be good if we had we had some of those extra advantages because we're here to try to, we're working on your behalf, Irv, in order to try to encourage colleagues who are looking for work to look at synagogues in Canada seriously. So if there are more advantages and selling points that beyond the ones that I've been able to cull, I'm happy to hear them, and I think your colleagues from on the phone would be happy to hear them too.
Well, I would certainly stress the Canada's universal healthcare system, which I think is a huge advantage. Those costs come, you mentioned it, but I would give it a little more prominence. But I think the major point that I'm trying to make is that there's a different culture in Canada, which in fact may appeal to especially younger rabbis. Again, I want to choose my words carefully. I don't want to insult anybody, but Canada is a country where the ethic of mutual accommodation and cooperation is much more prevalent than it is in, for example, in the United States, where there's a greater emphasis on individualism. There's a more liberal outlook on world and domestic affairs. We don't have a death penalty, for example. Our emphasis is on negotiation over military action. These are points that I think, in terms of living in the country, might be attractive to rabbis who are considering coming to Canada. There's no gun culture in Canada, or at least not. You know, we don't have the kind of gun violence that, in fact, the President Obama himself is so upset about. So I think these are points that need to be emphasized.
This is Amy Lewis. I would thanks, Irv. I would also add that the overall culture, the overall political culture in Canada, is way less toxic than it is in the United States right now. And I say this as a proud dual American-Canadian citizen. And I think this is something that's particularly noticeable now with the recent change in government. We don't have the drama of the Republican debates that you're going to be listening to any minute now. But it really is a much more collaborative political culture.
Irv Gottesman, Toronto. I didn't receive any of what we're talking about, so if you could just email it to me, that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, Lori Marin,
you sent me. If you didn't receive it, I probably would say please check your junk mail, because everyone who was on
there,
the registration list was sent it. Please send me an email. If you send me an email, I will respond with the document.
That's Rabbi Schoenberg.
E. Schoenberg.
Yep, I've got the address. I just wanted to make sure I was talking to you.
Yep, please.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm sorry that some of you don't have it in front of you. Do people think that it's worth my going over some of the advantages that have not yet been mentioned? We're trying to push those advantages, and I like Irv, your description of the different culture in Canada, I guess, is so obvious to me as a Canadian that I didn't really think of putting it down, but you're right on the money, and anytime I talk to Americans, whether they're rabbis or not, they pointed out to me as well. So let me do people who did not get the document, I don't want to belabor it. Would you like to hear some of the advantages that we are trying to sell? And
yes.
Quick. So they and they're not in any order, and they're not expanded on. So the idea of Kvod HaRav, the idea that rabbis are respected, is far greater in Canada than on the whole than it is elsewhere. Lower day school tuition and college tuition goes without saying. Tax credit or provincial subsidies for day school tuition. Irv already mentioned universal health care.
That's not in all provinces. That's not true.
That's
day school
right.
is not subsidized. No, day school in Ontario is you pay for it all, and it's very expensive.
Yeah, and same in Nova.
We're having major issues. That's why enrollment's down. You're looking at $15,000 for and $27,000 for high school.
So that IRV is still less than typical day schools in the United States.
Okay, but it's not subsidized in Canada. So,
okay.
It's partially subsidized in British Columbia. I don't know about the other provinces, but
Quebec
in BC,
is subsidized. But
Day schools get tax rebates or get.
But we can go over that once we get it and correct it.
Okay. Major cities: Toronto, Montreal, Calgary, Winnipeg, and Vancouver, for sure, and perhaps others. Have Jewish day schools, kosher butchers, kosher restaurants, and organized federations. I know that Halifax certainly has an organized federation as well, but not every American city has all of those things. Strong Zionist Israel orientation in Canada goes without saying. Multi-generational families living in the same city and davening at the same shul. That is very unusual in the United States. A generally knowledgeable Jewish community that may be changing, but it's generally more knowledgeable. A lower rate of intermarriage here than in the United States may be changing as well. And a larger concentration of second and third generation children of survivors who are more tied to the traditions of their European ancestors than the third and fourth generation of their American counterparts. So those were the 10 that I came up with. Irv came up with a very good description of the different culture, and Amy added that the political culture here is considerably, I would say it's non-toxic at all, Amy. I think parliamentarians, both provincially and federally, talk to each other and cooperate with one another across the floor, typically, and legislation, good legislation, does get passed here because of that cooperation. Comments? Let me come back to Irv's comment about the floating Canadian dollar. The Canadian dollar for about a decade, a little more than a decade, moved from a low of about 61 cents to the American dollar to actually a few cents above the American dollar for a very short time. It is, I don't know what it closed at today. On Friday it closed. It's 70.13 cents.
69.7.
69.7. Mm. So let me tell you what that means to someone looking at a job coming from the United States. If he or she is currently earning $100,000 and you are offering $100,000, they see that as $70,000 or $69,700. We can say, well, you're buying everything in Canadian dollars, but Canada is now an importing country much more than it is a producing country. So goods here cost more. The grocery store costs more. Gas, even though it has come down considerably, still costs more per liter. 4 liters of gas in Canada, even at a dollar a liter, still costs twice or one and a third times as much or more than a gallon of gas in the United States. People notice that. Clothing costs more here, and one can go through the whole list. When younger rabbis, presumably men and women who have been ordained in the last 5 to 10 years, are looking for jobs, they are often carrying with them student loans that they must pay in the United States because they went to school, to rabbinical school minimally, either at the Jewish Theological Seminary or in Los Angeles. They are carrying a U.S. debt, usually at somewhere between 6 and 7% per annum. When they're looking to pay that off, they have to pay it off in U.S. dollars. So we as Canadian synagogues need to really seriously take that into consideration. The issue about taxes, Irv, is not so much that people pay double taxes. That's not the issue. But the cost of filing a double set of taxes here in Canada typically is quite expensive. If you go to a large accounting firm that's used to filing U.S. taxes, cost can be quite significant, and this often smaller mom-and-pop accountants are not used to filing U.S. taxes and eschew that. So it's not as simple as you think. I want to throw out one more thing that is quite serious as well, and that is that spouses who come to Canada typically cannot get a work permit when they land. Often it takes them at least a year, if not more. And so if a family is earning a double income in the United States, they often are reduced to a single income here. And that, too, needs to be taken into consideration. Rabbis are concerned about their pensions, and rabbis will question you, and you need to be explained to them what an RRSP is, that they will be able to take, you know, even if they leave your congregation or move back to the United States after retirement from your congregation, yes, they can still take their RRSP. It is, however, in Canadian dollars. There may be, and I'm approaching retirement, so I should be looking into this, there may be different rules here in Canada for how one takes that money, what the tax implications are, et cetera. I don't know the answer to that question. In many of the locations that are looking for rabbis, certainly Toronto and Vancouver, at this point, the cost of housing is significant. Vancouver, I was told recently that housing costs near the walking distance to synagogues, certainly in Vancouver itself, is in well in excess of $1 million, if not two. Am I off track?
Could you mute your phone, please, as opposed to doing the dishes or whatever else is going on?
Please? Hello.
All of these things, in Canada, what Americans don't understand, don't know, is that if they buy a house in Canada, the interest they pay on their mortgage and all other interest that they pay is not tax deductible. That is tax deductible in the United States. Now, the downside in the United States is that if you sell your house, you have a capital gains unless you, you know, buy another house within a period of time. I think it's a year. In Canada, there is no capital gains on the increased value of your house. But that only helps, you know, when you sell your house. While you're trying to put your kids through Jewish day school, and while you're sending them off to college, and you're paying down a mortgage, your interest is not a tax deduction. And that can be significant if you're buying a million-dollar property and you have a $700,000 mortgage. Your interest payments are likely to be fairly high, even though interest rates are quite low at this point.
So tell me what we do about it. You're here to help us to overcome
okay, so
these challenges. What do we do?
Well, I think the first thing is that every Canadian congregation needs to look at their salary offering, and in consultation with Rabbi Schoenberg, who knows what salaries are being paid in the States, to make certain that your salary is competitive in the sense that it looks better than an American salary. Two, working with accountants and lawyers to find all of the ways that rabbis can earn tax, earn income that is non-taxable. Legal ways to do that. What can the shul do to help a rabbi financially? There may be ways of the shul directly paying school tuitions, the shul paying tuition for Camp Ramah directly, and not running it through the. And I don't know if that's legal or not, but there may be ways of doing that. These are things that accountants can help you with, so that when a rabbi comes and talks to you, you are able to say, Rabbi, we're offering X, but we want you to know that if you have two kids in day school, we can do X to help you with that. If you want to send your kid to Camp Ramah, we can do Y to help you with that. That's music to rabbis' ears. I think that you can, I think when you tell rabbis in this community, we have had a long history of long relationships with rabbis. That certainly goes in Toronto. It certainly goes in Vancouver. It certainly goes in Kingston and even Halifax that I know of. You had a student rabbi in Halifax for at least 6 years, maybe longer. That's a long run for a student rabbi. And to emphasize that rabbis get a lot of respect in congregations, I must tell you, in many congregations, rabbis in the States, rabbis' concern and complaint is they're not given the type of respect that they remember their own rabbi getting 20, 30, and 40 years ago. They're treated like an employee. And that is very different in Canada. I think a lot of conservative rabbis of all ages like the fact that Canadian synagogues are traditional and egalitarian. Some are non-egalitarian, and that, you know, there is a cadre of students, of people who appreciate that as well. But I think that many of the synagogues in Canada still run a very traditional service on Shabbat and Chagim. I think rabbis run very traditional funerals, shivas, bar mitzvahs, weddings, baby namings, brit milah, the whole life cycle thing. I think rabbis coming into Canada need to know that a high percentage of our families sit Shiva literally for 7 days, right? And not Shiva from, this afternoon and tomorrow. I think that those are attractions, rabbis, and I think you need to sell those attractions. The universal health care is a wonderful thing to sell. It is available to rabbis and their families, I believe, within 3 months of their arrival at the congregation. And you need to tell the rabbi that until it's available, you will cover major medical, the equivalent of a major medical policy, so that in case someone gets sick, in case the baby needs to see a doctor, the baby can get to see a doctor, and they're not going to have to pay hundreds of dollars out of pocket. That's very helpful to rabbis coming in. The fact that through congregations, it is easier for, there is a word in Hebrew called protectia. Do people know that word?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. So rabbis, rabbis often have a little bit of protectia finding things like primary care physicians and pediatricians, who for other people, their practices are closed, and all of a sudden the new rabbi and his family comes to town, and the rabbi's family needs a primary care physician, a pediatrician, the rabbi's spouse, if the spouse is female, may need, or the rabbi herself may need an obstetrician or gynecologist. That's usually easier for the congregation to help the rabbi find than for someone moving into the community from elsewhere. Those are all very positive things that you can do, and as you talk to rabbis, even in the preliminary interview on the telephone, you can highlight at least some of those things if this is a person that you think you might be interested in bringing out for a Shabbat or a weekday interview.
Good, that's helpful.
Is that helpful?
It is, indeed.
So this is Elliot Schoenberg speaking. The real purpose, I think, in the call, we sort of highlight from the very beginning, is at least for many of us, we have looked at United States and Canadian congregations sort of in the same broad stroke, right? United Synagogue represents congregations in Canada and the United States. And part of the purpose of the call, and kudos to Rabbi Moses, who took this very seriously, is since we have a number of congregations last year and this year and next year in search in Canada, to look to see what the differences are and how we could focus the marketing to rabbis so that they would understand the differences and highlight the differences and the advantages, so that they would understand. There are 7 or 8 congregations in Canada in search right now. That's a very high percentage and a very high total, altogether. We haven't seen numbers like that in a long time, which is why we wanted to focus some of the energy here. And maybe at this point I would like to suggest that maybe there are other advantages that Rabbi Moses and his research team didn't find. I wonder what are the things that you have been thinking about that you have already said or will say to candidates, so that to share best practices with the other folks on the line, so maybe we could all learn together about other good things we might say.
Well, it's Irv again. Excuse me. Can I jump? In the absence of other people speaking, I hate to hog this thing, but you should pardon the expression. But I wonder, Rabbi Moses.
Dinner and bacon was not on the menu.
I wonder, Rabbi Moses, if you have talked to American rabbis working in Canada to ask them what they love about living in Canada. And is that, are there still the, some of the things you've already mentioned, or are there more things?
So all of the things that I've mentioned came from the candidates, the people that I surveyed. Two for sure were Americans who moved to Canada. And a third may have been, I can't remember. One was definitely a Canadian by birth who was returned to Canada. I have not surveyed all of Canadian rabbis about the things that they like here. We can certainly do that, although I think you would certainly get more of the same of this. I've certainly right. given you, and you've added, I must say, two things that you have added, and Amy has added. Amy has added two things that I think will go on my list as I revise it. And if you can send me, an email, Irv, or Rabbi Schoenberg, an email with as you wrote down those the differences in culture. I would like to get all of the reminder of all the details, but I certainly made a note of the differences in culture. I think that's
what's your email address, Rabbi?
So, Rabbi, let me give it to you a different way.
LEMOSES, yeah.
At Share, SHAARE, Zion. Zion.org.
Okay. Ellie Moses at sharizion.org. Good.
Yes. Okay.
I'm originally from Montreal, so I know Shari Zion very well.
Okay. What's your last name?
Nitkin. Yeah. Okay. But we've been here almost 50 years. So.
Wow.
In Vancouver.
We have someone in the congregation, a young woman. Anyhow, it's not with the last name Nitkin. Her late mother was very active in sisterhood.
Yes, that would have been my cousin, actually. Yeah.
Okay. So I know the family.
Good.
The family. We may be Elliot. We may be spread apart by 5,000 kilometers. But it's a small community here in Canada.
I guess so, yep.
Mm-hmm. Good. And someone may know my cousin who used to be the rabbi in Richmond, and that's Rabbi Martin Cohn.
Yes, we know Joan very well, yeah.
Okay, so Joan and my wife are cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Martin and I are classmates.
Rabbi?
Yes.
It's Mark Rosen. I'm here with in Halifax on the call, and we're competing, I guess, with the other Canadian communities for a rabbi. We do not offer, in terms of the larger needs of a rabbi, with a day school, with kosher restaurants and the like. So I can take out the positives in terms of what you put in your points, but in terms of rabbis that are looking for spots, I'm sort of trying to get a feeling towards the type of candidate that we can expect. I mean, we've got some applications here already, but we're not seeing a lot coming from the school at this point in time and younger rabbis, and perhaps you can give some thoughts as to what type of issues that we're going to be specifically confronted with in looking for a rabbi.
So let me do two things. First of all, I would encourage you to send a team of two people at least to interview week on the week of February the 8th. That way you will get to meet all of the graduating seniors. And I know that you had a wonderful experience with Ari, who's moved on. I think the things that you need to emphasize in Halifax are two things. First, minimally two things beyond some of the things that you can pick out of this. First of all, you have a first-rate university and academic community at thou. And I think that that for a young rabbi who may want to have an opportunity to take courses at a good university, thou is as good as they get. And stress thou. The second thing is that Halifax is a beautiful city, very a Canadian version of a New England city. It's not a large city, not a large Jewish community, but it is a city as opposed to a town. One of the perks that you might want to add to for the rabbi is you might want to say, Rabbi, we would be happy to help you get to programs or activities that bring you in contact with other rabbis. For example, if the rabbi were to come, if you were to engage a rabbi and he or she would like to come join the Montreal Board of Rabbis, the closest board of rabbis to Halifax, and you were to say, Rabbi, we will fund you to go to Montreal 3 times a year or 4 times a year, or we will send you to, we will cover the cost of the JTS rabbinic seminar that takes place in January, or we will send you to Israel with your family to the Hartman Institute. Those are perks that most congregations are not ready to do. They cost some money, but they're tax-free because you're paying, and it is something that gives the rabbi a sense that he or she and their family are not isolated.
Excellent. No, those are very good points, and I appreciate your comments there.
Okay.
I would also add,
you can call me directly. I'll give you more information on all of those things, or Rabbi Schoenberg.
Thank you.
This is Rabbi Schoenberg. Let me have one other comment, which is student resumes don't go out till January 28th. No one has received student resumes.
Okay.
So they're not out yet. They're still finishing their degree and all this other technical stuff to finish rabbinical school to be eligible. So in the emails we sent about interview, et cetera, so you'll get them. So the students actually haven't been in that process yet. They all know which we just sent them today, the names of all the congregations that are coming to interview week. There are now 21 congregations coming to interview week. There are 18 students who are graduating, or 19, and 21 congregations coming. So it all sort of comes together for the end of January. So sorry that you're disappointed, but know that it was for a good reason, because they haven't gone out yet.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that clarification.
Elliot, let me ask one thing. I don't know if it's possible. When I come into the January meeting of the Placement Commission, is there any chance, I don't know if I'll have time, or let me do it a different way. Is there any chance that we can set up a, quote, a Mocha Monday for all the rabbinical students, both at American Jewish University as well as JTS, so that I can talk to them about Canada?
Great idea, of course. Great idea.
Since there are, there's at least one assistantship, if not more, and certainly Halifax and Kingston are on the list, that would be a way for me to tell them what I know about Halifax. Maybe even get Ari on the telephone as well. If we can set up a Mocha Monday for that. That would be very good.
Okay,
yes.
We'll do.
I'm wondering if we can horn in and do a little selling of Vancouver in that session as well.
Yeah. Amy, which shul are you? You're from
Congregation Harel.
Harel. So you're in North Vancouver.
West Vancouver, yeah, close enough.
West Vancouver, sorry. West Vancouver. So, yeah, I'm going to sell Vancouver, and I'm because I know I didn't realize Vancouver has an assistantship and your shul, and then there are which are so they're both of those shul, so you're all eligible for interview week. I would strongly, you know, encourage you to come in to, I don't know if you came in last year for interview week.
No, but I am coming this year. Just by coincidence, I'm going to be on the East Coast that week, so I'll be able to come up to New York for a day to do some interviews.
We will, so this is a great advantage. When they see you face to face, it is much, much better. So we will arrange, Elia will try to arrange a Mocha Monday. We will discuss who's going to participate in it, whether we will invite Rabbi Ari Grzeda, Rabbi Eisenberg, rather. He goes by Eisenberg, not Grzeda, or not. That will be Elliot's call. But I certainly will sell all of the Canadian congregations.
Great.
And the advantage of, I got to tell you, the advantage of living in Vancouver is tremendous.
Weather?
There a few times, and it's gorgeous. And you guys are really, you have all the advantages of the West, and all of the advantages of being a Canadian congregation. So I would say, you know, you have a very strong chance.
Sorry, did I misunderstand? Did I hear you say that you thought Harel was in for an assistantship? I mean, an assistant rabbi, because
no.
We're not, and unless I misheard, because we're looking for a senior rabbi.
I understand, but I thought
two synagogues. There are two synagogues in Vancouver area. One looking for a senior rabbi. For a second rabbi.
Okay. Yeah, so Harel's the one looking for the senior rabbi.
Okay, so you identified the city but not the congregation, Irv. So I just...
Sorry, my fault. Yeah, I'm also with Harel, along with Amy. So.
Okay, perfect.
Our time together is sort of drawing to a close, so I wondered if there are any last-moment questions that Rabbi Moses might be able to answer.
This is Amy again. Are there? I mean, given the challenges we're facing with the Canadian dollar and the cost of housing, are there options to beat the bushes for rabbis in Israel or Eastern Europe or South America?
Rabbi Schoenberg, you can answer that.
One of the wonders of the internet is that the list of congregations that are looking for rabbis is seen by all RA rabbis wherever they are instantaneously. So historically, I can tell you, even from last year, congregations that were in search, there were two rabbis who applied from Israel, one from South America. So they are in the loop.
Okay.
Not that they don't know or are uninformed. They all receive the same direct contact and information about who is searching wherever. So, yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Our commission is limited to placing rabbis in North America. We would not place an Israeli rabbi in Israel or a Latin American rabbi in Latin America. But if they choose to move to North America, we will assist them in every way possible.
Thank you.
That brings up one last point that I should mention. I think all of you are probably aware, if you are engaging a non-Canadian rabbi, you should have, you need an immigration lawyer to help this process. And a very important person to contact is your member of parliament. In addition to your immigration lawyer, let your member of parliament know that you are engaging a rabbi who is a citizen of another country after having searched in Canada and been unsuccessful. I think all of you know that you are mandated by Canadian law to place an ad in a Canadian, most people do Canadian Jewish news, in a Canadian newspaper indicating that the congregation is looking for a rabbi. Once you've placed that ad, you are then not obligated, then you are free to entertain applications outside of Canada.
Right.
Okay. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Yep.
I was, and I'd forgotten about it. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, you should do that. You should do that. You should do that. Soon, between now and the end of February, I would think, because this is high season for rabbis looking for jobs. You will get applications. There's one Orthodox synagogue here who let it be known that they were looking, that their rabbi had left and gone to New York, and they were looking for a rabbi. They got 13 Chabad applications overnight.
Just what we're looking for.
Just what you're looking for. I knew it. That was not what they were looking for either. So they all 13 got. Thank you. We'll keep your name on file. Good. Any other questions?
What we're looking for actually is a non-Chabad Chabad rabbi, a rabbi who can do all the wonderful outreach things that Chabad does without being Chabad. That would certainly fulfill a good part of what we're looking for, just as a comment on what you've just said.
Look, I think that there are rabbis who are able to do that, and as you and are anxious to do that. That's not every rabbi's cup of tea. That's not every rabbi's strong point. But if that's what you're looking for, in the interviewing process, you need to develop a series of questions for the rabbis that will give you a sense of, A, how comfortable he or she is in doing this, and what strategies they have either already used or imagine that they could use in your congregation to be the Chabad, the non-Chabad Chabad rabbi. Right. I would go right back to where Rabbi Schoenberg began tonight with urging everyone who has not read Ron Wolfson's book, Relational Judaism, to get that book from Amazon.ca. Read it. It is next to the Chumash, next to the Sidur, I would say, in terms of practical skills, the congregation, this is a Bible of practical skills.
And I might add, you might also check in with your Kehillah relationship manager, because United Synagogue has created an assessment tool for your congregation to look at your relational profile.
Good.
So Howie, you are the only KRM online tonight. The KRM for Vancouver is who, Ray?
Rachel Sisk.
She works out of LA.
She works out of LA, and right now she's down in Tucson. But her email address is rsisk, S-I-S-K, at uscj.org.
If you are having trouble getting hold of your KRM, let Rabbi Schoenberg or me know. We will speak to Ray Goldstein, who is the supervisor of all the KRMs. Is that a fair word to call you?
I like to let them think I am.
Okay. Okay, but Ray sits on the Placement Commission, so he can get them to move faster. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to wish everyone Shabbat Shalom. It is less than 24 hours from Shabbat, actually about 20 hours from Shabbat here in Montreal, and wish you all Shabbat Shalom. If it is warm in Vancouver, enjoy it. It is getting cold in Montreal. I'm not enjoying it.
So this is Elliot Schoenberg, and I want to first thank Dr. Ray Goldstein for helping put together this call and for his participation and for his wisdom that he has shared with us. Thank you, Ray, very much. I'd like to thank Rabbi Lionel Moses, whose initiative this was, who put the emphasis on it and did a lot of work. So thank you, Rabbi Moses. And to all, a good night.
Okay, well, thank you all very much. Rabbi Moses of Gottesman, keep well.
Thank you.
Much love to everyone.
Well,
it was very helpful. Thank you.
To your siblings, look forward to seeing you when I'm out of Israel.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thank you very much. All the best.
Take care.
Shabbat Shalom.
Bye-bye.
Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rabbi.
We have Elliot. Are you there?
I'm Elliot.
Here. We have a conversation.
But this is being recorded. I got to shut it down, Lionel.
We're meeting at 11 tomorrow morning. That's all.
Correct.
Okay. Erev Tov.
All right.
Bye-bye. We'll talk offline.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.